inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
If you are brand new to rental property investing and you're trying to figure out how to get started and buy your first rental property, I wrote an ebook that'll show you exactly how to do it. You can download it right now. Just go to landlordgift.com. I think most of you know that my wife and I work together on our rental portfolio, and I always love hearing from couples that are working on their portfolio together. And that's why I wanted to bring Will and Veronica Pritchett on the show. They're from San Antonio, Texas, and they work together so well. They have such a good partnership. They really have this figured out that they're buying properties right. They're fixing them up. They're managing them so efficiently. And I really wanted to share their story with you. So let's take a real quick break. We'll get a word in from our sponsors. We'll come right back and we will talk to Will and Veronica. Whether you want to buy your first rental or you're an experienced investor, you probably already know that having someone on your team to help you finance a property is one of the most important things that you can do as an investor. Chailey Ridge has helped thousands of investors generate rental income by getting the right financing in place for their unique situation. She's an experienced investor herself, as well as an expert on financing rentals. See what she can do for you. Find out more today at RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, LendingGroup.com. Hey, Will and Veronica, welcome to the podcast. So you guys are a husband and wife team. How did it come about that you guys got interested at the same time to invest in real estate?
Well, I've always been interested in real estate. I had a family member who was successful in real estate and saw their success. But I was discouraged for a lot of years by realtors and other people who cautioned against the 2 a.m. phone calls and all the hassles that would come with it. I just believed it would work. And when we got married, we moved into a new house and decided to turn our old house into a rental. And it was, we didn't know what we didn't know. And our first tenant came in and we were going to make her copies. We didn't have a printer or copy machine. So we went to her house to make the copies. It was pretty unprofessional. Mm-hmm. And then we learned as we moved forward and gained confidence. And after doing that for a year, I think she left her house better than she found it.
That's great.
None of the 2 a.m. phone calls. And then I think I kind of dragged Veronica into it. And now she's taking it and running with it. So that's kind of how we got started.
So, Veronica, were you hesitant at all when Will said, let's rent out the house? Or were you gung-ho from the beginning?
No, I was gung-ho from the beginning. I've always been interested in real estate, not to the degree that Will was, but my family too. Also, I had my grandfather had invested in real estate in Mexico, and then my family moved here when I was 8. And once my parents bought their first house here, they rented it out. And my parents were always on the mindset that once you have real estate, you don't sell it.
Right.
And yeah. So they had an okay experience with that one rental. So then when Will said that, I come from a family of entrepreneurs and I like business. So I was all in. I thought it would be a great idea.
Now, Veronica, you're kind of taking the lead today with the management, right? So if there's any tenant calls or vacancies, you're doing all that. Is it a lot of work managing the properties on a day-to-day basis?
So I recently quit my regular job. I was a school administrator at a high school, and it was a very demanding job. And Will and I were both doing the property management, but it got to be a lot. And so we decided that I would quit my job and do this full time. So Will still works as a firefighter. So I decided to take on the property management, and I enjoy it. I really do enjoy. We have great tenants. It's a lot of work up front, but I have learned through experience that if I invest all of the work up front, starting with selecting the right property, we have a very pretty strict criteria on the type of property that we purchase. We understand there's properties and that are a lot more affordable that will cash flow maybe more, but it also comes with more headaches. So to stick with our with our goal of passive income, we decided to narrow down our criteria. So it's starting with the right property, providing a nice home, a nice, clean, safe home, enjoyable, where somebody can really consider that their home. And then now I have multiple applicants to choose from because I have the right property. Since we're lucky enough to have multiple people to choose from, once we select it, then the next step is to sit down and explain everything from how the payment is made, what is, you know, what's an emergency, what is not an emergency, what they're responsible for. So if all the work is done up front, now it really truly is passive income. I mean, mm-hmm. The next time I usually hear from them is to renew, you know, their lease is up.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So there's a lot I want to dive into there a little bit deeper. But first, tell me a little bit about your portfolio today. I know you guys had a few properties, and then in the last 2 years, you really just started blowing up your portfolio. So tell me about your portfolio today.
Yeah, Dan, we started, you know, the old-fashioned way, putting in the 20-25% down and saving up with closing costs. And, you know, it was really slow growth and took a lot of saving. Then we found out about the Burr method. And as we talked about our experiences, people started to get interested, and we were passionate about it. So we talked about it a lot. Mm-hmm. And then now we're up to 11 properties, and most of that growth has been in the last 2 years. Finding that private money was easier than we thought, but it was a critical step in our success. You know, we had people that said, you know, we would like to get that kind of return. If you have need, we'd like to lend on that. And so we would borrow from them, and then we'd pay them off. And after one successful one, they were pretty well hooked, you know, and wanting to come back and lend again as soon as possible, really. So I started seeing what we were offering as its own asset in a way to those people. They were getting a great return on their money with great collateral. And then at this point, I think that our lenders are investing more in us than they are in the actual deal, because they have we have some credibility and we have a track record. So getting to that point was tough, and building the confidence in ourselves. But we have 11 single families. One of those has a rear apartment behind it, but the rest are standalone single family houses, and they're just good kind of working class neighborhoods. I like to say, and this is true, that I would live in any one of the houses that we own and provide for people. And I think if you can say that, you can sleep well at night for what you are providing. You know, for someone's mm-hmm. hard-earned dollar, you're providing a nice home. And we try to use the term home when they're welcomed in, and we bring them, you know, we bring them a potted plant and a Home Depot gift card so they can start investing in their home where they're going to live and raise a family maybe. And so we really do enjoy it. And that's where we're at this point.
So the model that you're following is you're buying a property that needs work, that needs to be fixed up. And so you're borrowing money from someone, you know, from a private investor, someone that you've met and someone that you've talked about what you're doing. They loan you the money to buy the property and fix it up. And then you fix it up, and then you refinance it with a bank. You put long-term financing on it. And then you pay back the investor that helped you acquire the property. And
that's exactly
so,
right.
So you're the net effect of that is that you're not really using really very little of your money to buy the rentals.
Yes. Our first two properties were very traditional. They were from a realtor, MLS, you know, on the MLS market for sale. And they need a little bit of work, but we were saving a lot of money. It was something we really wanted to do. So we were saving every penny we had, and we put 20% down on each house that we bought. So we quickly realized, wow, this is going to take forever to grow mm-hmm. this way. And that's when we, like Will said, we found private money, and that really turned everything around for us.
That's great. And have you had any problems going to the bank to get that long-term financing? Like do they have any seasoning requirements that you need to own the property for a certain period of time before you can?
Yeah, they do. They do, Dan. It's a 6-month period before you can get a cash out refinance.
Okay.
And that's, I think that's pretty standard with investment properties. One thing we found is a lot of lenders thought they understood investment properties, but they really mainly sell to homeowners. And there are some rules for your first 6 properties and the following 4. And the rules tend to change pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. So we finally, after much trial and error, found a lender who really understands the rules of investment properties. Now, we're about to max out our 10 conventional loans, and we're going to have to start looking at other types of lending that won't have quite as favorable of terms. But for conventional Fannie and Freddie type loans, 6-month seasoning. So we'll hold that private money for 6 or 7 months, refi out of it. So that lender gets a nice return for 6 or 7 months. And then they're looking, waiting for us to find another property to do it all over again. So it's been a great model. And it's
yeah, really,
when you have a win-win that's mutually beneficial, you know, it's good for the lender. It's good for us. It's good for the tenant. You know, it's a good feeling.
Totally. And for anyone listening that thinks you need a lot of money to buy rentals, you really don't. And I think this is great to hear your story that you guys didn't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to put into your portfolio, but you're creating a lot of wealth through doing this. Now, the reason you're buying the rentals, the reason you started buying the rentals was to pay for your kids' college, right?
That was a big motivator, was paying for the kids' college. You know, we were both public servants with pensions, and, you know, you're dependent on that pension, and you hear about pension troubles, and ours happened to be very healthy, but I also don't want to be dependent really on anyone for our future. So we wanted to take a part of that in our own hands. And doing this, we thought we could put money into college savings, or we could put it into a house and let someone else pay it off. And that was the choice we made, and to try that for a few years. And pretty quickly, we realized that we were going to like that model. And it just gives you a lot of different options. You could cash out when they're in college, do a cash out refinance. You could sell. You might have enough cash flow to just pay as you go on their college. And so it gives a lot of different options.
Right. Yeah, a lot better than just a college savings plan.
Right.
You know, you never know, you know, your kids might get a scholarship or whatever, but you have a lot more flexibility with having the rentals. Mm-hmm. Now tell me about the actual managing of the properties. Like, does it take a lot of time? Like, are you constantly having to deal with things, or does it get in the way of other things you're trying to do?
Not at all. Right now I feel that I'm working a lot, but it's because I'm constantly evaluating properties because we're in a growth phase in our business. But I always look back at our existing properties, and I just love them because, you know, I love the first of the month, you know, and that's when that's really when I check to see, that's the property management that's involved on the existing properties. It's just making sure that all the rents were deposited. You know, I don't go collect rents. Everything is, you know, deposited electronically. And so I just make sure that everything's paid. And because we do all the work up front and selecting great tenants, I never, you know, I have to send, I mean, they all pay on time, and
that's awesome.
Great people. Mm-hmm.
So tell me what you're doing up front. Tell me about your screening. So say if I was to apply to move into one of your rentals, like what would be the process that you would put me through?
Sure. So now what we do, once we have a property that's ready to go, I go ahead and list it, and then I let it sit for, I get lots of phone calls from the very beginning, but I don't schedule any showings. I wait till the next Saturday. And so that way I can have a lot of people show up. So let's say I'll list it on Friday. So it goes out that weekend. And then I'll get phone calls all week, and people want to see it right now, you know, and so I'll tell them, well, you know, the next available time that I have is Saturday at 10 a.m. So I'll give about a week to accumulate a lot of people. And so then I show up a little early, and I open up the blinds, make the house look nice and bright and pretty. And then I open up the door, and then it's this frenzy of, you know, all these people show up at the exact same time, you know. And so then I luckily we get multiple applications because of that. you know, excitement, I guess, like that competitive spirits kicks in. And, and so we get multiple applications. And now that I have my license, I use the Texas, Realtor Association application. But before that I used, just eRenter, you know, it doesn't really matter as long as, you know, you get all the information. The most important, information on there, of course, it's their, rental history. And I get, you know, we do the whole background check. So what we look for is the criminal history, the no evictions, and then I always call and make sure, you know, that they're employed where they say they're employed, and, you know, verify employment, make sure they were good tenants. So I speak to their prior landlord, and most of them have bad credit, though, you know, and they don't, and that's why they're renting, you know, the majority of them. So with that in that case, if they don't meet our credit criteria, then we just increase the deposit.
That's smart. But that's exactly what I do too. And yeah, like I don't think that bad credit necessarily means they're going to be a bad tenant. I've had a lot of great tenants with bad credit.
Exactly. A lot of people, you know, life happens, and you know, a lot of them we found it's either medical reasons or whatever it may be. But if they haven't been evicted, if they're employed, and they have to make three times the rent, you know, is their combined monthly income. And if they have a good history, you know, they don't have a criminal history, because we also take responsibility for who we bring into the neighborhood. We also, part of the property management is every time we acquire a new property, we go and knock on every door and meet all the neighbors, give them our card and say, you know, who we are, what we do. And because that's an extra set of eyes looking at the property, you know, usually, you know, they'll call us and let us know, you know, if something is going on. And so we take responsibility for who we bring into the neighborhood. So, the criminal history is also very important.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that I think is a real key part of the success that you've been having is the rehab, that you guys are fixing the properties up really good when you buy them, so you don't have a lot of maintenance. Like, do you think I'm right there that's really a key part?
Yeah, absolutely. We try to pick the right renovations to do, and it's different than we would maybe for a flip. You want things that are durable. You want to go in and fix any plumbing issues, any major electrical issues. Some of these are we're converting from window unit air conditioners to central air. And really having a good quality property that we would be proud to live in. And these tenants love them. We have several people who wanted to buy the house from us. We've had tenants who have moved out for one reason or another and then call us to come ask us if we have another house to rent, which is a compliment to us.
That's awesome.
They appreciate the property and our style of property management.
Yeah. I mean, you're taking care of the property and then you're also taking care of the tenant. So one of the other things you guys do, which I love, is when the tenant moves in, you give them a welcome gift.
Yeah. They're going to live in this house. And we call our business Home Again Properties, because we're turning an old house and turning it into a home again. And sometimes it's an eyesore and we're making it pretty and the neighbors are thanking us. And these people, some of them, it's kind of emotional when you see a little kid see that they have a yard for the first time. Mm-hmm. And when you bring them a potted plant and a $50 gift card to Home Depot thank you card, you know, they've gone through our screening process and they've earned this spot.
Yeah.
And we're starting the relationship off. We're still very firm with all of our due dates and so forth. But it's really rewarding when they move in and you can sense that they feel like they've found their home. And, the longer they stay in that home, the better for us if they're still happy there. So they are our customers and they are really, they're paying for my kids' college. So
right.
I want to take care of those people.
Right. And, I really love that. I mean, so many people, I think, look at the tenants as the enemy, but I mean, you really do treat them like customers. And I think that's really coming across good, because the tenants are happy that they have a good relationship with you. The property's in good shape. So I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Thanks. So. Yeah, that's our model. And we wanted something, any business we wanted to be involved in, we want to sleep well at night knowing that accepting someone's hard-earned money that we can rest easy that we're providing value for that.
Yeah.
That dollar. And so that's where we stand on it. And it has been a good model. It's worked out well so far.
Awesome. Well, if someone wants to track you guys down on social media, what's the best way for someone to find you?
Well, we're at Home Again Properties on Facebook. We're in San Antonio, and Veronica has her license with Stepstone Realty, and they're a real estate company that focuses on the investor realtor. And a lot of real estate agencies really don't understand investing. This particular agency is just awesome about supporting the investor realtor. And they're in Dallas and Austin, Houston, and San Antonio. And just that was a big turning point too, is after she got her license, finding that real estate company. But
yeah,
but our company is Home Again Properties, and we've got a Facebook page. We do show a lot of our renovations on there, our before and afters. And we'd love to connect with anybody that wants to learn more about this. We just enjoy helping people get over that fear, get over some of the discouraging stories. Like I told you, Dan, I'm a firefighter, and I hear people say, I don't want 2 a.m. phone calls. And sometimes they're firefighters who every third day are up half the night with 2 a.m., 3 a.m. phone
right.
calls. You know, and I think, well, you do this every third day. You make 3 a.m. phone calls.
Right.
And here we are, 11 properties in, and we've yet to have a call after midnight. So
yeah,
I want people to overcome their fear and realize that it really is a great business.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be discouraged by the naysayers. Most of them have never heard of property or just promoting an old cliche, I think.
Right.
Story.
Yeah, those middle of the night phone calls just don't happen. I mean, we used to do the lightning round on the podcast, and I think for probably the first 40 episodes, I asked every single person if they've ever gotten a call, and I think we had maybe one or two people that had that call happen one time. So it just doesn't happen. So if anyone is thinking about investing in rentals and you're not doing it because of that middle of the night phone call, don't let that stop you.
Absolutely. No, it's so much fun. I really enjoy all of it. You know, I hear terrible stories about, you know, that or the rehabs, you know, that the rehabs can be such a nightmare. And I really enjoy it's all about establishing a system and a process. And that comes with, well, for us, it came with experience. I mean, we had our share of, you know, of contractors that we had to put our foot down. I mean, we both love helping people. Will's a firefighter, I was a school administrator, but you know, we also know that this is a business. So we have high expectations, and but we also in return provide a really nice home. And then on top of that, we provide, you know, a good tenant into the neighborhood. Like I said, we take responsibility for who we bring in, because most people don't want rentals in their neighborhoods. You know, mm-hmm. they want a homeowner. And so we tell them, we are the homeowner, and we will make sure this house. We had one gentleman that didn't pass the background check, and he offered to pay 6 months up front. And said, no, I'm sorry, we just can't. And then he said, okay, how about a whole year up front? I'll pay you for the whole year up front if I can rent this house. And Will has really strong people skills. So he took that one, and he said, no, I'm really sorry.
It was really tempting to vary from our standard, but I think in the end, we were glad that we stuck to our standard and didn't accept the quick, easy money. And we ended up with great tenants to stay 2-3 years, I think.
So what do you see would be the risk with him paying up front like that?
The reason he failed the screening was he had a felony that the screening software we're using at the time was kind of vague, but it had to do with spousal abuse. And that's something that, for one, it was a felony, which disqualified him.
Mm-hmm.
And then that particular type of felony is just something I'm morally, you know, reprehensible. But then when he had enough cash, I started wondering, well, I don't know why he would have this much cash to pay a year up front.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking questions about how much electrical service there was to the house. And I started thinking about, in my line of work, I've been in marijuana grow houses that have cords everywhere. And I thought, what is his interest in electrical service? So
right. All
those things were pointing me towards a no. But it's easy when someone dangles, you know, $15,000 cash in front of you to jump. But we just stuck to our standard, and and we ended up with great tenants that paid every month.
So. Yeah. You know, I think there's a couple of things there that are good to point out, that stick with your criteria and eventually you're going to find the right tenant. And
yes.
the second is, like, don't go for the easy money. So,
right. And the risk involved there is that we establish relationships with all of the neighbors. And so if we bring that person in and they end up being a terrible neighbor and start selling drugs or whatever, we've lost all credibility with those neighbors.
Yeah, totally.
Then, who knows? I mean, we're still the homeowner. We can run, you know, the risk of being sued for something, you know, who knows? So,
right.
So we stick to our criteria and just know that, that we just, stick to our standards, and we're lucky that we live in an area where we have lots of people to choose from.
Right. Yeah. Also, I think sticking to your criteria is good too, from, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but from a protection, from a fair housing protection suit, that as soon as you start deviating from your criteria, you put yourself at risk. So
Yes, that's right.
If anybody wants to reach out to Will and Veronica, I've got their contact information on my website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode187. If this is your first time listening, make sure you subscribe and you'll get new interviews delivered to you automatically every single Tuesday. And thank you so much for listening and supporting the show. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.